Chapter 15. The man who was running in the early evening time, Dr. Kemp, was sitting in his study in the Belvedere on the hill overlooking Burdock. It was a pleasant little room, with three windows north, west, and south, and bookshelves covered with books and scientific publications, and a broad writing table, and, under the north window, a microscope, glass slips, minute instruments, some cultures, and scattered bottles of reagents. Dr. Kemp's solar lamp was lit, albeit the sky was still bright with the sunset light, and his blinds were up, because there was no offense of peering outsiders to require them pulled down. Dr. Kemp was a tall and slender young man, with flaxen hair and a mustache almost white, and the work he was upon would earn him, he hoped, the fellowship of the Royal Society, so highly did he think of it. And his eye, presently wandering from his work, caught the sunset blazing at the back of the hill, that is over against his own. For a minute perhaps he sat, pen in mouth, admiring the rich golden color above the crest, and then his attention was attracted by the little figure of a man, inky black, running over the hill brow towards him. He was a shortish little man, and he wore a high hat, and he was running so fast that his legs barely twinkled. "Another of those fools," said Dr. Kemp. "Like that ass who ran into me this morning round a corner, with the visible man a-coming, sir. I can't imagine what possessed people. One might think we were in the 13th century." He got up, went to the window, and stared at the dusky hillside, and the dark little figure tearing down it. "He seems in a confounded hurry," said Dr. Kemp, "but he doesn't seem to be getting on. If his pockets were full of lead, he couldn't run heavier." "Spurted, sir," said Dr. Kemp. In another moment the higher of the villas, that had clambered up the hill from Burdock, had occulted the running figure. He was visible again for a moment, and again, and then again, three times between the three detached houses that came next, and then the terrace hit him. "Asses," said Dr. Kemp, swinging round on his heel and walking back to his writing table. But those who saw the fugitive nearer, and perceived the abject terror on his perspiring face, being themselves in the open roadway, did not share in the doctor's contempt. By the man pounded, and as he ran he chinked like a well-filled purse that is tossed to and fro. He looked neither to the right nor the left, but his dilated eyes stared straight downhill to where the lamps were being lit, and the people were crowded in the street. And his ill-shaped mouth fell apart, and a glary foam lay on his lips, and his breath came hoarse and noisy. All he passed stopped, and began staring up the road and down, and interrogating one another with an inkling of discomfort for the reason of his haste. And then presently, far up the hill, a dog playing in the road yelped, and ran under a gate, and as they still wondered something, a wind, a pad, 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 a sound like a panting breathing, rushed by. People screamed. People sprang off the pavement. It passed in shouts, it passed by instinct down the hill. They were shouting in the street before Marvel was halfway there. They were bolting into houses, and slamming the doors behind them, with the news. He heard it and made one last desperate spurt. Fear came striding by, rushed ahead of him, and in a moment had seized the town. The invisible man is coming. The invisible man. Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.